Today on Real Life Radio.
You'll never be able to merge the understanding or the love or the relationship that you can have with the Father and with the Son unless the Holy Spirit is operational in your life. I'll simply submit to you tonight, you need the Spirit of God in your life to understand this. Jesus makes that very clear.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called The Holy Spirit in the Life of the Believer, Part 1, continues now with his series called The Why Series. Every believer's story begins with the work of the Holy Spirit bringing miraculous new birth. We've been given a new life and a new identity through the power of the Holy Spirit. Our misunderstanding of the Holy Spirit, however, is something we need to carefully avoid. The Holy Spirit's work is vital not only to how we live out our faith, but shows us the character and likeness of God's nature. This is why we study what the Scriptures say about who the Holy Spirit is and how He works in our lives. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack tells us that the greatest thing that we can do through the power of the Holy Spirit is to lead others to Christ, to be a witness of His love and saving power. There's a confidence that flows through us when we allow the Holy Spirit to work in spite of our own struggles and insecurities. And now in his message called The Holy Spirit in the Life of the Believer, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
I don't know why in this particular Why Series topic, I feel like I want to whisper. And I don't know why, but it's going to be a tremendous time, and it's going to be a very elongated study on the Why Series regarding the Holy Spirit. And I think it's going to be awesome. And so I trust that it's a great blessing to you. And so tonight, as we get into this, there's so much scripture to read that rather than have us do our responsive reading, we'll put it up on the screen as though you were going to read it, but I'm going to read it. I'll read all of it. So I need all of you to get ready. And so to get ready, let's pray one more time. Father, we pray that tonight you would be the teacher of all of us tonight. And I don't know why I feel so subdued. I mean, I haven't eaten anything weird. I just feel, Lord, reverent regarding this topic of the Holy Spirit, the dear, precious Holy Spirit, that we might learn of Him tonight, and that we, through this series, might be so dramatically and radically transformed in our lives totally, from our worship, our understanding of who the Holy Spirit is, our dependence upon Him, how we relate to Him, His gifts, and the function of them, and the fact of the matter that without the Holy Spirit, there wouldn't be a church. Without the Holy Spirit, there wouldn't be salvation. Without the Holy Spirit, we'd be lost tonight. So, Father, we pray that you would just feel at home here. This is your place. We are your people, and we welcome you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. So tonight, we're going to be commencing this study that we're going to entitle The Holy Spirit in the Life of the Believer. And I'm going to ask you to definitely take notes, especially if you have questions. Because on the Wednesday nights like this, when we do get to questions, I know that I'm very, very bad about that. I promised you questions on Wednesday nights, and I'm hoping that tonight will be one of those nights. So we'll go as far as we can this evening. But I'm going to ask you to grab your Bibles or look at the screens if you don't have a New King James Version Bible. And if you don't have a New King James, you ought to buy a New King James Bible. They're pretty cool. You know, all the these and the thous are out, and they put in the you and me's, but they have stayed true to the accuracy of the scripture. The New King James Version, that's what we'll be reading on the screens. And so Let me read this along. And if you, again, if something pops up in your mind, there's a notepaper in front of the seat that's there in front of you. You pull it out and you write it down. Because I don't want anybody to leave this place tonight in any way confused. Because it's my opinion that Satan would love to have you confused about the Holy Spirit. Because I got to tell you, church, you're not going to have any impact and you're not going to have any joy and you're not going to have any fun as a believer unless you understand the workings of the Holy Spirit. And when I say fun, I mean this kind of fun, like ripping up the world for Jesus kind of fun. Okay, so here we go. These letters technically should be written in red, huh? This is Jesus speaking. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go," notice now, listen, he's leaving. He's announcing that he's leaving. And he's telling us, don't be troubled by the fact that he's leaving. It's essential that he leaves. He's got to go and prepare a place for you. "I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." That's a key statement because he's announcing, I'm leaving earth, I'm going to heaven, I'm preparing a place there, and there's going to come a time when I'm going to take you there. Okay, but for our study's sake, that's not what we're focusing on. By the way, if you are an eschatologist, this is the first introductory verse by Jesus Christ himself regarding the doctrine of the rapture, right here, by Jesus himself. "I'm leaving. I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm coming back. I'm going to grab you. I'm going to take you to that place that I've been preparing for you. It's not on earth. It's in heaven." Verse 4, "And where I go, you know, and the way you know." And Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going." Don't you love Thomas? He's the best. "How can we know the way?" And Jesus said to him, see, if he wouldn't have asked that, we never would have known this next awesome verse. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Oh, I love that. Amen. When you're not a Christian, you hate that verse, because it's so narrow. This is Jesus saying it. And he's saying, this is the way. I'm the ticket. I'm the key. I'm the path. It's vital. "If you had known me," verse 7, "you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him." I'm going to insert this. What Jesus is saying cannot happen to your life without the Holy Spirit owning you, and you'll never be able to merge the understanding or the love or the relationship that you can have with the Father and with the Son unless the Holy Spirit is operational in your life. You are not going to get that intercourse between the Father and the Son and the believer without the Holy Spirit being in your life. Amen. That's why if people read this, they don't get it. I'll simply submit to you tonight, you need the Spirit of God in your life to understand this. Jesus makes that very clear. And so he says, "And from now on you know him and have seen him." Verse 8, "Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father and it is sufficient for us." Love all these questions by these guys. Jesus said to him, to Philip, "Have I been with you so long and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father." What does that mean? I'll tell you what it doesn't mean. Listen up. It doesn't mean that Jesus is the Father. Make sure you know that. Jesus is not the Holy Spirit. Jesus is not the Father. Jesus is Jesus. The Spirit is the Spirit and the Father is the Father. So then what is Jesus saying? This is awesome to be reminded of. Jesus is announcing by this, If you and you know this, if you've read the entire Gospels, Jesus said, I only say those things my Father tells me to say, and I only do those things my Father tells me to do, and I do nothing without him saying so, and I say nothing without him saying so. The will of the Father is exactly what I do. That's the meaning behind what Jesus is saying. He is announcing, have I been so long with you and you're still trying to figure out who the Father is? Look at me. Meaning, everything I say, everything I do is the exact, expressed, perfect will of the Father. So in other words, when the woman was caught in the act of adultery and the Pharisees grabbed her, which, why were they there watching? I think it was a setup. They drug her to Jesus, threw her down at his feet, and said, Moses says to stone her, what do you say? And Jesus begins to announce to them, you who are without sin, which one of you have no sin, go ahead and cast the first stone. And the Bible says that he stooped down. Isn't that awesome? He stooped down and he began to write in the dirt. And the Bible tells us that they, being convicted, each of them began to leave, the oldest first to the youngest. You hear the genius of that? Jesus stoops down and answers the question. Moses says, killer, what do you say, Jesus? And Jesus begins to write in the dirt. And these Pharisees, the oldest one, you know why the oldest person left, the oldest Pharisee left first? When you're older, you're very aware. You've lived longer, you've sinned more. When the longer you live, the more sin you rack up on your sin-o-meter. The oldest person leaves first. And then the younger ones, young people, you gotta love them. The younger ones are harder to convince because they have an ideology that is sometimes accurate, most often theoretical. It's something that they've got to get through. It's part of growing up. But the younger theologians, they're really impressed with themselves. Finally, they get convicted. And they leave. And Jesus says to the woman, woman, where are your accusers? And she says, Lord, as she looks around, I think she said it like this. Woman, where are your accusers? And she says, Lord, I have none. And Jesus says, neither do I condemn thee. Go now and sin no more. In other words, go live a different life now. Okay, how did that happen? Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. And yet, there was no gospel preached. You don't even read about the word repent because you don't have to. The Holy Spirit had convicted her of her sins. Jesus is going to teach us tonight that the Holy Spirit does the convicting. Humans cannot convict. Now, you may think that you're the Holy Spirit's helper. You're not. You may be a sin sniffer and a fault finder. You're not. We are commanded to love. We're commanded to love even our enemies. Which the fun part is, have you ever loved one of your enemies? I had an enemy. I have enemies. I just haven't gotten a chance to love them all yet. But I had a real enemy years ago. Guy was out to get me big time. And of the worst type of enemy, it was out of pure envy. Something had happened and this person became very envious and is outside of my control. And the Lord said, I want you to love him. And I thought, what was that, Lord? You want me to kill him? No, I want you to love him. And I can honestly tell you, I did not want to do that. And it was really hard for me. And so I said, Lord, I'm going to do this for you. And I want you to, I want you to know I'm doing it for you. And Lord, I'd appreciate it if you would never forget that I'm doing this for you out of absolute obedience to you, because I don't want to do this. And I did it. And it didn't change that person one bit. You know who it changed? It completely changed me. Totally set me free. That person no longer had control over my life. That was supernatural. It was like, what? It's like an explosion happened. How did that happen? Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit did that. And so he says, show us the Father. And he says, do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me, that's important, does the works. Verse 11 says, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Verse 12, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father. Stop right there. Jesus Christ is saying that it is so expectant of those who believe in me to do greater works than me. Can you imagine? How can I do greater works than Jesus? I've never raised anybody from the dead. Would I like to have raised somebody from the dead? That'd be cool. But then I'd have to have enough faith to pray for that dead person to raise them, which is kind of overwhelming. Have you ever been next to a dead person and somebody says, pray, ask God to... Let me tell you, you need to find some faith. That's a big deal. I've not done that. I don't know, maybe you have. I've not done that. That's not what Jesus is talking about. Jesus is talking about something that's greater than that. What in the world can we do that's greater than raising the dead? What in the world is it that we can do by the power of the Holy Spirit based on the words of Jesus that are greater than walking on water? It doesn't matter if you walk on water. Would it be cool to walk on water? Would it be awesome to walk from here to Catalina? I think it'd be awesome. But that's not important. It's not needed. It's not needed. The greater work is the Holy Spirit in you leading other people to Christ is the greater work. That's the greatest work. For you to be a witness to someone that leads them to the love of God. Greater works that he will do because I go to my Father. Notice it goes back to earlier verse 14, or chapter 14, early on. I'm going, I'm leaving. You're going to be able to do this because I'm going. I got to go. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Next verse. Should be a next verse. Next section. The section, guys, let's keep going. Next page. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. I can't do that unless the Holy Spirit does it in me. Do you ever feel inadequate? Yes. Okay, first, let me scratch that. Raise your hand, everyone. Just raise your hand. Keep them up. Raise your hand if you feel inadequate. There you are. All you have to do is read those three words. Keep my commandments. And it says, that's it, I'm going home. No. You cannot do it. He does it in you. Don't lose heart. He does this. You don't do Christianity. Christianity is done to you by the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know what? It's not in my notes, but let's just say it. God says to his priesthood in the Old Testament, you got to put cotton in your crotch and in your armpits. Did you know this? The priests were ordered to put cotton in their armpits and in their crotch. Because God said, my priest shall never sweat. You know what's awesome about that? When we start sweating, we're not trusting in him. When we start sweating and get anxious, we need to back up. and calm down. My priest shall never sweat. And the Bible tells us in Peter that we are a kingdom of priests to our God. He says in verse 16, and I will pray to the Father and he will give you another. There's the word. Notice, by the way, even in the English, it's in capital H. The word is parakletos or paraclete. Parakletos, para, parachute, parabol, parallel. It means alongside. Kletos, parakletos, the helper who comes alongside you. You hear what he's saying? I'm leaving. I gotta go. By the way, I gotta go. I'm gonna build you a place. I'll come pick you up, but I gotta go. For a lot of reasons, I gotta go. If I go, listen, I'll give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. So mark it down in your notes. That's one of the names of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive. In other words, listen up, everybody. This is not going to go over big. This will go over like a bunch of rocks. The Spirit of Truth in you and I in this world, the world cannot receive. Instantly, the Christian. How many of you are Christians? Raise your hands. Okay. The Christian who's possessed by the Holy Spirit is at odds with this world. And the world cannot receive your worldview now. They don't get it. Look, let's be honest. Before we were Christians, we didn't get it. Come on. And this immediately puts us at odds. You're not of this world anymore. Remember, the Bible tells us that we are ambassadors for Christ. And that Greek word for ambassador is an ambassador that is sent to go into a hostile territory. It's not an ambassador, you know, like the ambassador of the Rose Parade. Oh, big deal. What do? You sit in a car and you wave. No, we're talking about an ambassador that goes into, where would that be today? North Korea or Iran to be an ambassador. Can you imagine going into Iran and saying, hey, I'm a Christian. Kim Jong-un, before you press the next button, I just want you to know I'm a Christian. That's the word. That's radical. That's how we are in this world. The world doesn't get it. They don't get us. They don't understand. That's why they think we hate. You're all these things. You Christians, you this and this. By the way, beware if you claim to be a Christian and everybody of the world thinks you're awesome. Jesus said, you can't be friends of both. You know that conviction you're feeling right now? That's the Holy Spirit.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in his message called The Holy Spirit in the Life of the Believer, Part 1. So glad you joined us today. You know, the Holy Spirit in the Life of the Believer, Part 1, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Why Series. It's a series that brings to light the difficult questions of life and allows us to logically reason together while looking to God for the answers. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, as a follower of Christ, we're encouraged to live every moment in God's presence and to set aside a quiet time to pray, to read from the Bible, and to reflect on our relationship with the Lord. But if you don't have a devotional time set aside, don't get discouraged, because it's never too late to start. Simply go to our website, that's at jackhibbs.com, click on that Devotions tab. Now, once you're there, we're sure you'll see how spending time with the Lord will be the best part of your life. There are new devotions every week, along with previous ones for daily devotion. We'd also like to encourage you to download Pastor Jack's Real Life mobile app for on-the-go strength and encouragement. You can access the Real Life mobile app through the App Store or from our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.